Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This is episode 112, and today we're going to be talking about living like Jesus and division. Jesus came to bring division. This is coming from a sermon I just preached yesterday. I'm preaching through the Gospel of Luke, and man, has there been so much content that's been helpful, and it's helped me to be balanced. And I think there is a wrong kind of balance in the evangelical world, and then there is a right kind of balance in the evangelical world. The Bible complements each other, and Jesus the lion and Jesus the lamb complements one another, and that's what you see in the Gospels. And I've been working through this, and it's been incredibly helpful for me. It's hopefully been helpful for our church, and hopefully now this can be helpful for you as I kind of lay out some of these contrasts of what Jesus has to say. We're going to look at purpose statements today about why Jesus came to the earth, and then we're going to look at specifically division, and then ask the question if we are to actually live like Jesus or not. Because I think there is a general sentiment with a lot of evangelicalism that we are to live like Jesus in some ways, in the nice ways, but we are to never live like Jesus in some of the ways that people today would define as counter-Christ-like. So we're going to look at that, but first we're going to pray. I'm going to remind you about barbell logic, and then we'll go from there. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. I ask for blessing upon the next few minutes. Help me to be faithful to your word and encouraging to people. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, folks. If you haven't recognized me, this is Jared. I do have a mustache and beard, and I put those in quotes here. I'm going for it, and we'll see what happens. That's what I try every few years, and then I try it for a while, and then move on from there again, and then a couple years down the road, I give it a shot again. That's just kind of how it is with me. So I'm back on video and audio today. Hope you guys are doing well today. All right, so we're going to talk about barbell logic for a few minutes because I want to remind you of that. It's been helpful for me to get into consistent routines over the years when it comes to working out. So my routines have always been about running. You guys have heard me talk about this. Running requires little to no discipline for me anymore just because it's a part of my life. I love to run, and I only run about one day a week now just because time, as you get to certain stages of life, is always limited. And so about one day a week, very rarely, twice a week, I get to run my 4.4 to 5-mile run. Really enjoy it. Doesn't require any discipline because I've been doing that for 20-something years. It's just an internal clock. I realize I need to go out and run. Well, working out with weights was never a thing for me like that. So in college, when I was about 23 or 24, I had about a 6 or 8 month span of working out, and then just didn't, you know, just kind of dabbled here and there and working out with weights. And then a few years ago, I thought, you know, I want to be strong. And I've been working out, and then I've had to unlearn a lot of what I had done over the last year and a half, because I started working out with Barbell Logic and with Matt Reynolds, and Matt has been working to correct my form, and he's been helping me, and I've enjoyed it. And my whole deal with working out is going to be the tortoise model of just consistency over the long haul, and then hopefully I'll continue to get stronger, and I just really enjoyed it, and I think you will too. There is benefits in a world that doesn't require manual labor to step into this kind of manual work with barbell training, and I would just encourage you to do it. There's a lot of benefits that come because of it, and just check out Barbell Logic and see what they're doing. They can help you out. They're doing great things. Okay, so now let's move on. I want to talk about why Jesus came to this earth. What is the purpose for which Christ came? And in the New Testament, what we're going to see is that there are many purpose statements about why he came. And then I'm going to look at the passage that I read yesterday and preached yesterday at our church. And this is kind of a lesser known purpose statement for why Jesus came, but it's important nonetheless. And then we're going to jump over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, and check out that verse, because I want us to see that we are to live like Jesus. This is the basics of what it means to be a Christian, is to follow the commands of Christ, but also to live like Jesus. There are limitations in our abilities to live like Christ. There are certain things in Jesus' ministry and miracles that authenticated his message that cannot be replicated. We cannot do some things that Christ did. He was God in the flesh. He lived fully as a human being, but there are limitations that we have that we can't do that Jesus did that were specific for that time to authenticate his message. And yet, in his character and actions and teaching, we are to live like Jesus. That's what we are called to do. And so I'm going to read these purpose statements and then go to Luke chapter 12. Here's what Jesus said. These are purpose statements. I came. So Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. So this is why Jesus came. Purpose statement. He came to not abolish, but fulfill. John 12, 27. Jesus said, for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. So he came to for the purpose of the cross to glorify his Father's name. For this purpose, I came to this hour. What was the hour? The hour of experiencing the substitutionary atonement, where he experienced the wrath of his Father. He came for that point for that time to glorify his Father's name. And that would be the way he would honor his Father and save people. John 17, 4, Jesus prayed, I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you have given me to do. He had work that was assigned to him by his Father, and he accomplished that work. That's what he did on earth. John 18, 37, for this reason I've been born, and for this reason I've come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. He came to testify to the truth. He himself is the very truth. Mark 1:38, Jesus said to them, let us go somewhere into the towns so that I may preach there also, for this is why I came. This is what I came for. He came to be a preacher. Jesus is a preacher. That's what he came to do. Again, these are purpose statements. John 9:39, Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, so that those who may not see, so those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. This is why he came to the world, to bring sight to those who see, or blindness to those who can see, and to see to bring sight to those who cannot see. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Another purpose statement. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ came into the world to save sinners. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There is particular redemption. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came for you, for his people, his bride, to have abundant life in this world. John 1 John 3:8, the Son of Man appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. So we look at these passages, we have to recognize that there are layers to the purposes of Christ, and he has, in his own prerogative, in his own timing, the ability to appeal to these different reasons that he came. And we don't pit these against each other, they complement one another. That's what the Bible does. It never contradicts, it always complements. And then we come to a lesser known purpose passage that I preached on yesterday, and here's what it is. Do you think that I have come to bring to give peace on earth? We could just pause right there and say, well, yeah, I mean, we sing about it. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. My peace I give you and my peace I leave you with. That is a statement of Christ to his apostles that is on for perpetuity for us. So there is peace that he does bring, certainly to his people. But listen to this. No, I tell you, rather division. Okay, how about just two verses earlier? I came to cast fire on earth, that would be judgment, and would that it would already be kindled. This is the kind of thing that Jesus came to do. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to divide. He had a purpose that he was set out to do and to accomplish, and that was division. That's what Jesus came to do, was to divide. Now, what in the world does that mean? Because Jesus is always the point of division. This is what I was talking about yesterday, is that Jesus brings division even to what matters most. We have a commandment that we are commanded to continue to follow in the Ten Commandments of honoring our father and mother. And this is a corporate thing. A society and a people that honor their father and mother will live long in the land. A people that will not honor their father and mother, they dishonor their father and mother, where they will not live long in the land. It's self-rot and destruction when people look to their fathers with disgust rather than honor. And yet, even at the point of family love, think first century audience, Jewish people, who would end up accepting the Messiah, what would end up happening? Well, Jesus said he came to divide father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother-in-law, or mother and mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Division is going to happen. Jesus comes on the scene, and inevitably, what happens? Well, judgment. That's what Jesus does. Judgment, even at the core. Two will remain Jewish, three will become Christians, and then automatically there's division. But it just goes on in perpetuity. This is what we see still to this day. Those who are aligned with Jesus, who are saying, Jesus is my king, I take orders from him, I'm aligned with him, they have great unity. That's why it's so much easier to honor a father and mother who are aligned with Christ and submitted to Christ, because we are aligned on the same purpose. Whatever Jesus says goes. What he has in his word and his commandments, we love. They're not burdensome. We love those. Love what God has to say. And when we are aligned together, there's great unity. When there is groups of people who don't get in line with what Jesus has to say, what ends up happening? Well, there's division, even at the family level. Jesus came to divide. Now, this is true even to this day, is it not? Division is everywhere in this world, and the dividing lines are really with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and Christ. Who are you going to submit to? Do you actually believe God's word? And do you have a category that division is going to come to you? If you're going to be faithful to Jesus, there's going to be division around you. This is the point that Jesus made, that he's coming to this earth to divide. And if you're going to be faithful to Christ, then where you go, there's going to be division around you as well. Great unity around you, and joy and life and fun, and around groups of people who are aligning with Christ and obeying Christ. But for those who will not align and obey Christ, we cannot put family or friendship or anything else above honoring and obeying Jesus. Why? Because we are aligned with him. We are to walk in the way he walked. We are to follow him as our king and as our master and as our Lord. And there is a assault on the lordship of Christ in this world today. Whereas if you actually want to obey Christ, then the division comes and people will actually say, look at you. You are dividing. It's you who's divisive. And it's not the person who's aligned with Christ that's divisive at all. It's the people who are on the outside, on the peripheral, either claiming to be following Christ or who aren't following Christ at all, who will not and refuse to align with him, who actually believe the world over believing Christ, who actually follow the ways of the devil or the ways of the flesh or the ways of their self over what Christ has to say. And I think this is what this point of division is often in the area of how are we to live? Are we to live like Jesus or not? Because Jesus, the Lamb, never brings division. It doesn't seem like it's the Jesus, the Lion, that brings division. When Jesus shows up, division happens. When a Christian who's following Jesus and lives like Jesus shows up, there's going to be division because this is what it means to walk counter to the world. The world looks at Jesus with disgust and brings persecution and slander and reviling. And the world looks at the Christian and brings persecution and slander and reviling. And we're called to rejoice in that. But the question comes down to this. Are we to live like Jesus actually? Or are we only to live like Jesus partially? And when we look at the things that Jesus says, like he came to cast fire on earth or he came to divide, if we look at that and say, huh, I really don't like that, because there's many things that people don't like that Jesus teaches. A few things, just to name a few, that people don't like that Jesus teaches is that he teaches exclusivity, exclusivity of Christ, that there's only one way to the Father and it's Christ. His teaching on being God. He claims to be God. He is God in the flesh. His teaching on heaven and hell, or marriage and sexuality, or sin and repentance, or self-denial. These are just to name a few of the things that people don't like about Jesus. They don't like the fact that he does turn over tables, or that he does come to cast fire on earth. Hold on one second. I got a text. I hear Providence, or Oak up there. And my mother told me to text her when I hear him. Just a second. Okay, there are many things then that people don't like about Jesus. If you're not aligned with Christ, then the things that Christ teaches and the things that Christ does will offend you. But when you have your allegiance to Christ, and it's just a settled deal, it's a settled order, there's nothing about Jesus that's radical. And if you're going to live like Jesus, there are going to be people that say, well, that's radical or that's out of balance. How many people would have taught that Jesus is out of balance when he's saying the things that he's saying, when he's calling out the lawyers in Luke chapter 11, and he's saying, woe to you lawyers also, as he just cried out to the Pharisees and called them down and called them hypocrites and fools. How many there could have said, Jesus, wow, how out of balance are you? And how many people come and say, well, that's Jesus, we shouldn't be trying to live like that. But here's what 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says. But whoever keeps his word, we'll start in verse 5. In him truly the love of God is perfected. And by this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Friends, if you claim the name of Christ, you should walk in the way he walked. Meaning, it's a done deal for you. Your allegiance is to your heavenly Father. And if anybody's going to be offended in your life, you're not going to be an offensive person. But if anybody's going to be offended in your life, it's not going to be God. It's going to be the people around you, because you won't get in line with what they have to say. There's going to be slander. There's going to be ridicule in your life, because if you follow Jesus, as he divides, you will divide. But you have to understand the difference between you being divisive and the truth being divisive. You have to understand that and walk in that and humbly submit to what comes your way if you're going to live like that. And then for the people in your life that are following Jesus and aligned with him, praise the Lord, there's going to be great unity. And so I think this was a providential text for me personally, and I think a good time for us to work through this when it comes to Luke, walking through Luke, because it's always a good reminder that to follow Christ, there's going to be some division. And the whole point is we need to be aligned with him and live the way he lives. And in doing so, there's going to be a lot of life around us. There's going to be a lot of unity around us because we find brothers and sisters in Christ, family that walk with Christ together, that walk with Jesus together. And then a challenge for you, even when it comes to family stuff. Families are divided when people are not united around Jesus. If you're united around Christ and you're aligned with him, then your family is going to receive a great amount of unity because you're actually in the family of God. The point of family is not just to be natural family. You want to be a part of the household of God. When you're a part of the household of God, there can be great unity because you're aligned with Christ. What he says goes, and you don't care what else happens. You want to honor him and obey him and realize that by doing that, division will come. Okay, guys, I hope that this has been helpful to think through, kind of a thought experiment about the purpose statements of Christ, and it certainly was, again, encouraging and helpful for me. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes, and if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me, and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.